Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Listen very carefully, California. Listen very, very carefully what's going down in Sacramento. Turn back the clock. 1978, Proposition 13 passed overwhelmingly by the voters in the state of California, capping at 1% the value for property tax. Fast forward nearly 40 years later, and really the last couple of years, the liberal left and the liberals in Sacramento have really been trying to attack that, to raise that, to make more money, and they are really going at it right now. A coalition of public employee unions, and public employee unions that we talk about all the time have to be very careful, because you only get your money when there is money to be given out there. You just can't go in debt deeper and deeper for years and years and years. The stronger the economy, the better the public employee unions do. So, and other liberal groups, including a lot of churches, it's kind of funny to hear that, launched a campaign Thursday to alter Proposition 13 and raise billions with the B dollars, hiking taxes on commercial properties here in California. The organization Make It Fair, headed by unions including the California Teachers Association, we've been talking about that for a while, the SEIU, which is a huge source of money for that. They want to get an initiative for the 2016 ballot and the campaign for its message. It would remove limits on what the organization considers the commercial property, industrial, retail, and office complexes, mostly for them. It leaves homeowners alone, so they say for right now. But if they get a foothold in, you know they're going to come after the homeowners after that. If enacted, Prop 13 revision would raise $9 billion a year that they say, are you ready for this? Are adequately financed schools and improve local government services. However, a group out there saying, well, you know what? The Fair Tax Group here in California is saying that is enough of that, and they are going to fight back with both barrels out there. So that's just one of the things that is going on out there right now. They want to change Prop 13 because the money's not coming in as much as they thought. Prop 30, Prop 98, Prop 111, you pick a number out there. There's all kinds of propositions out there that they have money going towards schools and other things, and yet they still want more. Are they dreaming? Well, we'll talk about that right here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And with me on my right, my good friend, champion of the local and of the taxpayers here in California, my good friend, Andrew Over. Now, how you doing, buddy?
Just watching the wag the dog. I think we need to get that theme up here in our music selections. Yes, it is wag the dog. I mean, goodness gracious, churches. I mean, come on, churches. Don't you guys own commercial buildings? How come you want to tax everybody or you know, go after commercial property but yours? I mean, the hypocrisy right now is really, really kind of getting a little thick down in Sacramento, and you're bringing up a great point. And maybe it's just time for us to really, really talk about the real issue behind this Proposition 13 assault. And the Legislative Analysis Office, I've been reading that report, and I dare to tell you, yeah, it's dry reading, but man, they are really pointing out something huge, Tim, in California that we really really need to focus on. Hello, folks. Andrew Wabone here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we're aware America's voice is heard. Proposition 13 is definitely under assault. And you said it correctly, Tim. Right now, if they get one foothold into one aspect of that proposition, they are going to go eventually into the every other area that they can, without a doubt.
You know, and home ownership is one of the last things that we have as citizens for tax write-offs and things. So can you imagine you're paying your taxes and you're paying $3,000 a year and they want to double that to $6,000 a year? That's essentially what they want to do, raise it from 1% to 2% of the value of your home if they were to get that. Now, right now, they're only going after, they say, commercial properties. Andrew, they tried that with the guns and everything else. They want to get a foothold. They keep on trying to get a little bit of a crack, and if they get in, they're just going to make it bigger and bigger, and they're going to come after the smaller people. And aren't the small businesses under attack enough already, Andrew?
Look, it just doesn't matter. We're using the word fairness. That's what the left likes to use. Oh, we want to do it, you know, the fair. Everything's got to be fair. It's got to be equal. The water restrictions have got to be fair. They've got to be equal. But when it comes down to this, look, this is hiding something very, very important. And when you see the California Teachers Association begin to attack Proposition 13, it's because the Legislative Analysis Office is beginning to shed light on Propositions 98 and 111. It is becoming very clear now that Propositions 98 and 111, 40 cents out of every new dollar raised in taxes, goes into education and is leaving other agencies underfunded. And teachers right now don't want that holy grail to be messed with. And like we talk about all the time, it is the political dagger of death for politicians to bring it up. That's how come you're not hearing and seeing a lot of information coming out on this May revision that's due here in a couple of days.
I was just going to bring up that, Andrew, you talked about the May revision. Are we going to see, because you know they're already putting out there Prop 13, they want to change it to get some more money. Are you seeing out there that they are going to be a lot shorter than they thought that they were going to be, and this is another way that they can get more money out of the turnip in California?
They like to use the spin. Billions and billions and billions of new revenue, billions of new dollars are coming in because of all of these propositions. Pick a number that you just said that's out there raising taxes. But ultimately, Proposition 2 is a very important number right now. Proposition 2 now is beginning, you know, that's where the voters. We said that we want a mandated rainy day fund. You know, Proposition 58 passed earlier this decade and a half ago, was under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, required the legislature to pass the budget. Proposition 2 now strengthens Proposition 58 and ensures, mandates that a revenue is maintained in a balance for a rainy day. And so when you have a couple billion dollars sitting there in mandatory rainy day funding, everybody down there is looking at that money and they want to get a piece of it. They're just, you know, chopping it at the bit to get a piece of that money in order to balance other issues, primarily, as we talk about with public employees, the public pension plans and of course, the retirement benefits and the medical benefits. Those numbers are going to start slapping Californians in the face, and we're just going to have to be ready for it.
Do you think, Andrew, that the public employees...
Those are real numbers, not proposition numbers.
Those are real numbers. The SEIU and the public employees unions, like you have said and championed for 4 years, are only as successful as how the tax base is going here in California. The more money going in, the better off it is. It's so far underfunded, and it's just... it's amazing. It's staggering the amount of money that is owed on that. But how can they go after something where it's just going to raise more taxes, more people are going to want to leave? They better watch the fight that they pick.
Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody can correct me on this, but I really don't know if churches or if schools, K through 12 schools, universities, community colleges, I don't know if they pay taxes on the properties that they operate on. But, you know, the hypocrisy is the issue with me. I'm just really, really getting frustrated with the hypocrisy. Proposition 98 is now going to be in the spotlight, and there's no way that they're going to be able to keep Proposition 98 and Proposition 111 and the cost to the taxpayers, you know, from being underneath that spotlight coming up this May.
Do you think, Andrew, that somehow if they were to get this, and I just can't see how anything would change with Proposition 13 because the folks, I know it's been 40 years since they overwhelmingly passed that. Do you think there's any way that they have any kind of shot at all to get in there and to get something changed to where it is only going to be, they say, on retail and the big businesses. I just can't see that happening. They don't have the supermajority to at least get that going.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, leftists are great at propaganda. You know, we saw Adolf Hitler. They blamed the Jews in order to make a movement. It seems like the leftists out here in California and across this country, they're blaming corporate America now. And successful individuals, the wealthy one percenters, are now public enemy number one with the leftist propaganda. So without a doubt, yeah, I mean, it could be a dog fight when it comes to this, but it's important that Californians understand the impact that it's going to have on them. You know, the appearance of protecting the middle class, blue collar across California actually could be very detrimental to them. Okay, in studio with us today, our good friend, Mr. Paul Staddy. Paul, what should we be knowing today?
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Last weekend, radical Muslims committed a terror attack in Garland, Texas, where Pamela Geller hosted a Muhammad cartoon competition. It sparked a national debate about free speech. After that attack, the Islamic State said they have trained soldiers in all 50 states waiting to commit more acts of jihad. The Islamic jihadists have now vowed to kill Pamela Geller and her supporters. Even more repulsive are the political pundits who agree. They say that Ms. Geller put people in harm's way. Outrageous! I say it's the Islamic jihadists who put people in harm's way. They say the Prophet Muhammad is off limits to mockery. But I have to ask, where was all this outrage when a crucifix of Christ was dipped in urine or when Mary was smeared in elephant dung? Let me be clear, and this is my opinion only. It doesn't matter whether or not I agree with Ms. Geller, and it may not have been a smart thing for her to do. But the First Amendment protects all speech, including offensive speech. Violent extremists don't set the boundaries of free speech in America. Free speech in this country is sacrosanct. I think our nation owes a debt of gratitude to the Lone Star State for demonstrating the proper response when Islamic radicals try to wage battle there. Know that, Islamic jihadists.
I don't mess with Texas, as we say in my home state. Okay, California, time for something you may or might not know on today's date, April 8th. The year is 1639. Ready? William Coddington. He founds what we know now as Newport, Rhode Island. 1792, the United States established the military draft. 1858, John Brown, he held his anti-slavery convention, and, you know, he was an incredible abolitionist through history, and anyways. And, of course, in 1861, Richmond, Virginia is named the capital of the Confederacy.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSUE, live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. Check us out at the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, for our back episodes the past 4 years as well. You want to join the conversation in the next half? Pretty simple. 257-TALK, 257-8255-8256, or our dime, 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you very much, Dan. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are, of course, where America's voice is heard. You want to join the conversation? 257-TALK, 8255-8256, toll-free out of the area, 1-866-882-1277, Prop 13. A lot of things going on down in Sacramento, and it's my good friend's favorite time coming up these next 6, 8, 10 months. Elections, proposition, all kinds of things going down in Sacramento. Andrew Wellborn. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great, Tim. You know, as always, you know, it seems like Proposition 2, a great proposition passed by the California voters just a couple years back, is starting to create the fits, I think, for the California State Legislature when it comes to actually having a balanced budget as far as, you know, making sure that other agencies are funded outside of the Proposition 98 and 111 requirements for K through 12. So it's going to be interesting to watch the fight. I'm looking forward to see the fight, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of things exposed. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are where America's voice is heard. And California, let me tell you something. Do not mess with Proposition 13.
Andrew, I couldn't have said that any better. When they put the Proposition 2 together, were they thinking that while we are going to have a windfall, things are going to be getting better here in California, we're going to have more tax base here, we're going to have more money, everybody's organizations are going to be funded well, and with, you know, in 30 and 98, schools are going to get their money like they're supposed to. It's really not looking like that right now, and they have been attacking and finding, trying to get different ways, Andrew, for months where they can raise revenue. Now, sacred Proposition 13 under attack.
Look, I mean, the spin and the wagging the dog is all about, well, we have billions and billions and billions of dollars. We're ahead of schedule, you know, the first 4 months out of the tax year, every year out here in California. And then historically, we know that those numbers are going to begin to fall off. And then, of course, they overspend based on money in the front. And the money is not enough to be able to take us to the end of the budget year. So ultimately, that is going to be the issue. Proposition 98 is going to be a discussion, a point of discussion. It has to be a point of discussion. $113 billion in revenue on this budget, 40% of that $3 billion increase from last budget year is mandated to go into education. And then, of course, you know, the ultimate question is going to be, for Californians, are we getting the results for what we're paying for? And that's a whole different debate. But the bottom line is this. Other agencies are going to be short as a result of Proposition 98, which is why you're seeing the teachers unions. You're starting to see other advocacy groups go after Proposition 13 in the name of fairness. Well, it's not fair if you want to isolate one individual group to begin to pay more than everybody else.
And that is something, and I was kind of shocked to see some of those unions and the churches get behind that because they are, you know, tax-free. They don't pay taxes or property. They have it really very well out there, and I was kind of amazed to see that they were. But the public employees unions, Andrew, like you harp on all the time, they should know that their money is coming from the taxpayers. And the more you take away from the taxpayers, the less you are going to have for them.
I just don't know if we realize that as state employees. We definitely are not teaching that amongst ourselves. We're looking at it a little bit different. You guys all know in studio, and most of our state employee audience knows that, you know, we look at things a little bit different as far as how we perceive the money being in the budget and what our expectations, to a degree, a little bit of entitlement that we have, this little mental entitlement that we have amongst, you know, government employees.
Sure.
But ultimately, it's just going to have to come down to people understanding that these economics out here in California are slowly, slowly, slowly beginning to not work anymore. And okay, folks, it's your turn. We do have a call online. Welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind today? Thanks for joining the conversation.
Oh, you're welcome. I know you've been talking about Proposition 13, and I just wanted to share some things with your listeners. I lived down in L.A. During the time they were trying to pass that, and I remember seeing night after night on the news that people that were retired or elderly people were losing their homes because they had bought homes that they could afford, and the tax base they could afford, but they kept raising the taxes so high that people were losing homes. Some of them even were losing homes that had been paid off because they could no longer afford to pay those exorbitant taxes. And so I think that whenever you get a mailer requesting a little donation for the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association, you should send them $5 or $10. If a million people sent $5 or $10, they'd have $5 or $10 million with which to fight for us, and they're the ones that are fighting the fire tax for us. So it's real important that Proposition 13 stands, and it's really important to support the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association because they're in there fighting for all of us. And those of you who don't own houses, your rent will go up because the additional taxes will be passed on to you in the form of higher rents. thoughts, and I'll hang up and hear your comments off the air.
Well, it's not going to the houses yet. You know, that's the key.
Yes.
Yet. You know, okay, but most importantly, I think there's going to be a higher cost when it comes to purchasing a good in a building or shop or store. No matter what, anytime you have an increase on the wealthy or businesses, it's just passed off onto the people as a whole, as the consumers. And so that's a great point that the caller did make. However, you know, the big thing is this. We can't let them in that door, because once they get into that door, they're just going to go through the entire room and try to reshuffle everything, if not try to steal everything out of that room. That's what the left does when it comes to, look. I mean, I was going to go down a different road when it comes to this, but you know what? I'm still irritated at the fact that, you know, right off the bat, you know, my wife and I, we pay 1/3 of our income right off the bat every month to the government and some type of tax, whether it be the state franchise board and or the federal government, IRS, and then, of course, our property taxes. We pay pretty good property taxes out here, up here in Northeastern California, where we broadcast out of. And I'm okay with paying my local property tax as long as it stays within my local government. But, you know, when it comes to me maybe investing into a business or maybe into a commercial property, I just, you know, the commercial property rate is just going to make it horrendous as far as being able to operate based on that tax increase.
Where is the incentive for somebody, Andrew, out there who would want to come to California with, let's say, in 2016, the Prop 13, a change is put on the ballot out there, and who would want to come here knowing that they are going to have to pay approximately double? What businesses are going to want to flood into the beautiful California? I just can't see them.
Well, we just assume that that's going to happen. You know, we bring it up quite a bit. You know, Californians and people across the country as a whole, we don't have major suffrage kicking off. Not suffrage.
Correct.
Suffrage. You know, we're not suffering when it comes to some of the impacts that the federal government has on us, which brings us up to some of the things that are happening with the presidential campaign. I see a couple other candidates have announced, and I have to tell you, I really, really am impressed with Dr. Ben Carson's announcement now that he's running for president. He brings up some of the points that we harp on with this show as far as, you know, the government and the Constitution. You know, people are supposed to be elected to prevent any type of oppression, to kind of control the government, not to expand the government. And so, great opportunity for Dr. Ben Carson. I love the story, by the way, and I like the idea of Mr. Smith going to the White House when it comes to our president. But, you know, oftentimes these individuals with no political experience, they are going to run into the inevitable hurdles, the bumps in the road, you know, the embarrassment mode. They're going to mess up. That's all there is to it. But hopefully, maybe Dr. Carson can stay on point and deliver a message that I don't think is going to resonate real soon. I mean, we're just months away from the first primary. It's going to take years for that type of message that's coming out of Dr. Carson's campaign right now to really begin to take a foothold across this country.
You know, we have been trying here for 4 years on the 503 Report to get the message out about what's going on in California. And here's a man who, a brilliant surgeon for 30-plus years and in charge of huge organizations, and a mild-mannered, soft-spoken, very humble out there. The anti-typical Washington type of person with a big ego out there, but a very good message. And you're right, but there is going to come a time, I think, Andrew, and listeners out there, that we are going to be craving somebody like that. We are going to crave and reach out and want somebody like that. Mike Huckabee's the same way, soft-spoken like that.
Well, Mike Huckabee's got some issues, and the credibility issues, obviously, from the time when he was a governor, it's going to come back and haunt him a little bit. The issue that I have with Governor Mike Huckabee has everything to do with the fact that when he had an opportunity to seek a re-election to go against Barack Obama during his second term, he laid back. And so the credibility issue for me is there. Same with Sarah Palin. I mean, if you're going to spend 4 years attacking a president, when your opportunity comes to run, you need to take it rather than sit back and wait, you know, because ultimately, just to say, well, the timing issue, well, hold on, your message and your time was then. Carly Fiorina right now, I enjoy her message once again. The citizen government, the citizen control, the citizen leadership. I love the concept with that. I think she's going to be very, very competitive. And I just like the idea of the citizen going to the White House, Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith going to the White House. I think it's very, very refreshing. Is it likely that it's going to happen? No, but I can still champion, because we say all the time about the primary being about our conscience. And so I'm not saying saying that I'm endorsing either one of these at this point, but I definitely like the concept.
I like what you said. You brought it out in the open. You know what? You can attack. You can say things. And if you're on that national stage, like the Huckabees, the Palins, whoever it might be, back it up. So you think that you're going to get waxed. You're not going to make it. It's okay. Put yourself in that ring anyway. Put yourself out there. Get your message out there. If the President Obama got reelected, well, 4 years later, fast forward to right now, you want to go back in the ring. Hey, you know what? I championed 4 years ago. I attacked. I went after it. I tried. I got beat, but I'm going out there again. America likes that.
I think that if Mitt Romney would have chose Mike Huckabee back in 4 years ago, I think that he would have had a better chance at winning. And, of course, we were the only show on the record making the statement that as soon as Mitt Romney chose Paul Ryan, that it was over. So ultimately, these candidates are going to start coming out, and you know the Libertarians are starting to beat up on themselves. And the big concern that I've got right now is that when you see Senator Sanders come out of Vermont going up against Hillary Clinton in this Democratic primary, he is so far to the left. And when you see the Libertarians fighting so far on the right, the concern I've got is the appearance of Hillary Clinton looking straight down the middle.
I can't believe what I just heard. The 503 Report bringing Sacramento and the world to you. 257-TALK, 8255-8256. Give us a call. Back right after this.
Susanville Men's Hardball League is looking for players and teams for the Men's League. They will be starting to play at the end of July, and Lassen and Plumas County players are most welcome. They will play at Memorial Park. This will be family fun. For more information, call Trey Allison, 619-838-6632. That's 619-838-6632. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
All right, California, time for some more stuff that you may or may not know. On this date, April 8th, 1951, the United States performed ready an atmospheric nuclear test. Did we even know that? 1960, the USSR and Cuba resumed a diplomatic relations. Man, that's terrible. And then, of course, something very important that we forget. 1994, ready? President Clinton, that's Bill Clinton, announces that the United States will no longer repatriate all of the boat people. That was all the refugees coming from various areas across this world. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are where America's voice is heard. And Tim, I want to start this segment with reading a quote. Okay. I want the audience to bear with me here real quick, and I don't want to reveal who wrote this. Hopefully, maybe a lot of the audience will know right off the bat, and I think some folks may be very surprised who I am quoting here. I am not an advocate for frequent changes in laws and constitutions, but laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of human mind as that becomes more developed and more enlightened. As new discoveries are made, new truths discovered, and manners and opinions change with the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also to keep pace with the times.
Wow.
Interesting what's happening today with Hillary Clinton. I think that, you know, the Republicans are getting all up in arms on her recent opinion, basically advocating and agreeing and saying that they're going to maintain Barack Obama's executive order towards immigration. Republicans, we're missing the mark on this. What Hillary Clinton and the left message, the Democrat, they're using the words citizenship, pathway, and no deportation. The key here is no deportation. It's really not about the citizenship, or maybe it is. We don't know, but I'm going to explain that here in a little bit as far as what that could be as far as going down the road with this new left messaging. So what I'm getting at is you have a movement reaching out The old term used to be called universal suffrage. Universal suffrage, meaning everybody has got the right to vote regardless of status, race, sex, age.
Anything.
Maybe today's legal status. Currently in our United States Constitution, we have a legal requirement for voting. Basically, you have to be a U.S. citizen, as we know. But outreaching to the illegal immigrants in this country could be something under an old term of universal suffrage that is beginning to become incorporated within the leftist messaging.
Andrew, do you think, how is that going to play out? Is that going to come to fruition in the next presidential cycle? Is it going to happen afterwards? Could it happen in local, state, and county elections? Or more on the federal side? Are we going to see a huge uprising for something like that? Is the right going to really step up and fight something like that? Because the left continually wants to grab that voter base.
Well, once you establish a certain right for an individual, but you limit them on other rights, don't under the 14th Amendment we utilize to establish further rights for individuals when it comes to just basic rights. So meaning that if we're going to begin to implement opportunities for non-legal residents, it started with the DREAM Act, for instance, young kids who are now grown up to have access. And so you have this basic right because of the DREAM right, even though you do not have legal status. So once you get into the door, based on the quote, and I'm going to say this one more time, as new discoveries are made, new truths discovered, and manners and opinions change with the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also to keep pace with the times. Are the times changing? Are the institutions changing? Is this movement looking to change a voting status under the words universal suffrage?
Andrew, it is. The times are changing, and maybe the institutions are not. And is the right, like everything else, are they trying to get a crack, a foothold into something that to where they can draw more people in to the fold, so to speak? Because they already champion the rights for those who are here illegally anyway. Are they going to use that? Are they going to really fight for that and try to get that? It's going to be very difficult with Congress and the Senate right now the way it is set up.
Movements, you know, start somewhere.
Slowly.
And as Dr. Ben Carson put it, you know, we're supposed to go into the United States Congress to, you know, not create an establishment to reign over us. That is not the principle of our Constitution. It's not the principle of our government. We see oftentimes, based on this quote, the 14th Amendment is utilized in various, and you just pick one. I mean, they're out there all over the place as far as utilizing the 14th Amendment in order to change an institution. What is the institution? The institution is our government.
That's kind of scary. It's gonna, is that going to play out again? Do you think that Hillary Clinton has already said she wants to continue on with what President Obama is doing right now if she were to get elected? And when you said that she was center because Sanders was so far to the left, that was kind of scary. But she's already thrown out there what she would like to do. So are we ready for, we've had 8 years, are we ready for 12 years or dare we say 16 years of what's going on right now? I would really hope not.
It's a brilliant play, I have to tell you. It's a brilliant play, and it's one of these messages that most folks are not realizing. You said it earlier, you know, the right champions illegal immigration or migrant workers, you know, it's for the wrong reason. Now, the leftists, we've been saying for years, well, they just want a voting base. They want a voting base. Well, illegal immigrants cannot vote, but as we know, if you change the institution over time and you start it today, and we know it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Correct.
Radical change never occurs. You know, conservatives, we always oppose that radical change. But over time, as the institutions grow and the thought grows and the education grows, eventually minds are going to change a little bit. And the leftists that like to hide underneath the word progressive now, because the quote that I gave you, one could argue and debate, is the foundation of the philosophy of the Constitution being a living, breathing document.
Do you think, Andrew, now we've talked about this for years on here, when Republicans and the right and the far right, when we get into elections and we don't have our person in place, we kind of tend to either stay away or not care or vote some way out, whack, whatever it is, where the left gathers around and they go behind that person championing that. If we see things like this that are in play out there that are going to radically change and know that whoever is in charge, let's say Hillary Clinton were to be elected and she were to want these and champion these and have that momentum if she were to win, are we going to see Republicans rally behind whoever it is? Are we finally going to see that? Are they going to get slapped in the face enough to say, we have got to get behind somebody who's going to fight against that? We cannot let that happen here today.
It's a trap. And Republicans, historically, we just go running into these traps. And the far-right libertarians within the Republican Party, I mean, it's set beautiful for them. Fortunately for us, you know, a lot of those guys on the right, Rand Paul and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, they haven't really bid on it yet publicly. But the issue that we're missing on this has to do with legal status voters, the children with immediate family members who are not here legally. You ask any of those individuals, they don't care about migrant workers coming south of the border. They don't care about Central Americans. They don't care about South Americans. They just care about their immediate family members. And when it comes to the DREAM Act, okay, so you have a child now that comes into California illegally with the parents. Well, guess what? You put them in our schools. Because that's part of Proposition 98 funding. It has to do with the pupils in school.
Sure.
Creates an increase. That's how the schools get paid. And so you always see the California Teachers Association get behind these types of movements. But ultimately, I'm just trying to put out there, be ahead of the curve a little bit, and point out what I think most people aren't looking at, which is a strategy under universal suffrage when it comes to voting rights potentially being afforded based on your non-legal status.
It's just amazing to hear that, Andrew. And we here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento World to you, are ahead a lot. Andrew, what he says is well ahead of the curve out there. In a couple of minutes, Andrew, I want to get back to maybe something statewide out there. Once again, not only are they trying to attack Proposition 13, but they're trying to get the minimum wage for the – they're saying that fully a third of Californians – 4 to 6 million people that are working are underpaid. And, of course, the minimum wage just went up to 9. Now they're thinking about bumping it up to 13. So, once again, something else to make jobs go away. People need to be aggressive in their education and their desires to better themselves. Don't just rely on the government. You rely on the government for that $13 or $15 an hour, and you rely on them, and then when the money is gone, the tax base is gone, they're not paying, you're going to be gone. You better have something else to fall back on.
Socialism, communism, fascism, every one of them, Adolf Hitler to Joseph Stalin, had to have somebody to blame, you know, to, you know, the proletariat all the way back to the communist movement. The bottom line is today's proletariat movement is against corporate America, is against individual success. The key is this. They are against individual success because of an individual's inability to succeed. So, I mean, that's just hardcore non-political correctness 101, folks. I mean, if you're angry out there, California, because you're not being successful, then look at yourself first. Take accountability of yourself first. Take it upon yourself to figure out why you're not being as successful rather than becoming angry because somebody else is more successful.
It's very difficult in this generation, I think, to do that. We had that in our generation, growing up, all of us here in the studio and a lot of our listeners out there have been working since a very young age, and this generation tends not to do that as well. They rely more and more upon getting a helping and a free hand, and the money, like we harp on, can only go so far. There's only so much of it out there, and that is forcing the left to go after hallowed ground, Proposition 13, enacted 40 years ago, to try and get more money for everything that they want to do out there.
Common what the left is going to do. They're going to have to come up and blame somebody in order to gain something. But, you know, Baltimore right now is a classic example. I mean, I'm surprised that the mayor of Baltimore actually asked the attorney generals to come in and investigate the police force. I mean, that's an issue in itself when it comes to, you have a police force and you've got statistics that are showing that everything that everybody's alleging that this police force is doing, the statistics are showing that it's down. The police involved shootings are down. Police involved citizen complaints are down. But yet you want to bring in the attorney general's office to prove a point. What point are you trying to prove other than the fact that maybe you can't run your city?
That's what I was going to say. Deflect it off. And you know what? Make that show. Well, this is what I am trying to do. But you know what? This is above our capabilities in our small office. Let's get the federal government once again involved in something like that. And that is just
crazy charges. I mean, you know, the city of Baltimore, I'd have to say their state's attorney probably learned a lesson from Florida. You know, they overcharge these officers with everything. Hopefully they're going to be able to make a deal is what they're thinking, not hopefully for my part.
Sure.
They're thinking hopefully they'll get a deal or something in order to, you know, defeat the mob, which I don't think is anything good at all. But hopefully, you know, the evidence doesn't prove that the officers did what they are accusing them to do. But, you know.
Andrew, it's just crazy what's going on. Let's look at our own house and try and get things together. Andrew, what can we learn from our favorite book today, buddy?
You know, before we get to the book, as new discoveries are made, new truths change. With the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also to keep pace with the times. You ready? You guys may be surprised.
Yes.
No, that is not Harry Truman. No, that's not Teddy Roosevelt. That's Thomas Jefferson.
Wow.
Our favorite book. From Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to your mountain, move, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing their duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this country can be safe.
The 503 Report, heard a couple different ways. Fridays right after the news on 1240 KSUE. And live as well, streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. Click on the Listen Live on the AM icon and you can follow us there. About a half hour after the show on 1240 KSUE, SierraDailyNews.com, you can catch a rebroadcast of this show. Tune in weekends, 7 o'clock Saturday, 7:30 on Sunday. Before the news and swap shop on Saturday and pre-programmed material on Sunday, and catch a rebroadcast of our half-hour show. And go to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, and you can catch a podcast from the last 4 years there as well. A lot of powerful stuff right here today said on our show. Thank our callers for joining in and chiming in, giving us their 2 cents worth. Folks, we can't do it without you. We love having you join our conversation as well. We'll be back again with you guys live once again next Friday, right around 12:15 or when the news gets over here on 1240 KSU. And to all you moms out there, my wife, my mother, happy Mother's Day coming up this week. And remember, we are all born free.
Let me thank you for your time.